2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. Sam Farnsworth is joining me here again for another edition of Jazz Notes. We're going to talk about the Jazz recent spate of play. Yes, a 5-game losing streak. It's been pretty depressing. We are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, which team they're going to play on in the All-Star game. But I think we need to start out with the day that was not really a day for the Utah Jazz when it comes to trades. It was a day for a lot of other teams, a day where players went from one team to the next, but the Utah Jazz traded for no one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to say, I'm really not too surprised that they didn't trade for anyone, Sam. It's not that I don't think that they needed, they don't need someone. I think they need someone. I'm just not surprised that they made a deal. I think they made their deal earlier. They called it good. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll see what they can get in the buyout market, whomever that may be. But I think they probably looked out there and they thought, no. Gonna cost too much.
Right.
And that's the thing. I think that Jazz fans are like, come on, do something. But I think that maybe what they were willing to give up or what they were willing to give up didn't match up to what the other teams were willing to offer and what the teams wanted from them. They were probably like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, you might want to see some movement, especially in the wake of the losing streak that they're currently experiencing. Obviously, they're thinking, okay, something's got to change. If we want to compete with the Lakers or the Clippers or the Nuggets, for that matter, then something has to change. Well, and that's not always the case. I wouldn't be the least bit shocked if the Jazz were listening, if there were some offers that maybe came flowing into the Jazz offices for player A or player B, whoever that may be. For the most part, though, the assets that would have been available in a trade for the Jazz, in my opinion, wouldn't have drawn much value in return, right? So if that is necessarily the case, then there's no need to pull the trigger on a move that would likely be somewhat of a lateral, a lateral move. And so I think the Jazz are in a good spot still. It's hard to think of that when they're playing the way they have been playing. But you have to think of the picture as a whole. The Jazz are still in a good spot. They're still a playoff team. And we still have the All-Star break coming up, which is the perfect break that the Jazz need. I'm still optimistic that this is a Western Conference contender. So,
And it's, I think it's interesting. I think I saw some fans out there like, why aren't they doing anything? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they trying? And by the way, we're not Jazz employees here.
Right,
okay?
Correct.
You got to be smart about this whole entire thing. You have to be smart about who you're going to get. I kept hearing, why don't the Jazz try and get a guy like mm-hmm. Marcus Morris? Mm-hmm. We heard that Markieff Morris, his brother, was also on the trading block with the mm-hmm. Detroit Pistons. I don't know where that went, if there was any talks there after mm-hmm. the Pistons decided to get rid of their center and send him off to Cleveland. I'm not even sure if they decided if Markieff was going to even be going to be shipped out because of the trades that were already done there. I'm not sure. And they'd say, well, look, the Clippers got Marcus Morris. They mm-hmm. got better. The Warriors and Wolves, they were able to. I mean, look at some of the guys who were going around. The Jazz should have been able to come up with a deal. There had to be something there that they just did not feel comfortable with. That they they're just like, no, we don't want to do that. And it's not because they think that their team is the best team in the world right now, because they know they're not the best team right. in the world. Even the front office knows that. But something was there where they're like, we don't feel comfortable with what's going on. I don't believe they just sat by idly and did right. nothing.
Right. And here's the thing about the Jazz, too, is if you think the Jazz are just sitting back and relaxing, not doing anything and not willing to be a participant, you know, and not willing to make a move to help better the roster, then you haven't been watching the Jazz for the last 7 months, okay? Because obviously in the offseason, they made multiple moves that they felt would make the team a better team. A couple months ago, month and a half ago, whenever it was, they made a couple of big moves that they thought would help make the team better, which I believe has proven them correct, that they did make a good move in adding Jordan Clarkson, getting rid of Uncle Jeff Green, I was a big hoorah guy for Jeff Green when they added him. I thought he might have been one of the steals of free agency. Turns out the Jazz were smart enough to recognize that was not the case, that he wasn't necessarily helping the Jazz and didn't really have a fit for the Jazz. So they made a move. They dropped him. They made a trade to add Clarkson to bring that spark to the bench they needed. So to think just because the Jazz were quiet during these final hours, final days of the trading period, if you're a Jazz fan saying, well, why aren't they willing to do anything? They are willing to do things, especially when they recognize that there's a need. I just don't think there's a need right now. And like you said, there were probably some open ears. They were probably listening, seeing what's out there, but the value probably didn't. There wasn't the return large enough for whatever they'd have to invest in such a move.
And whoever they trade for has to fit within the framework
Correct.
Of the team, too.
No doubt.
You've got to find a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find a guy that's going to fit along with the other players, because even though the Jazz are struggling right now, I would say the majority of these players get along with each other. You mm-hmm. notice that in the locker room. These guys really do get along with each other. Now, that doesn't always lead to winning, but you've got to have that. You have to have some cohesion, and I'm not sure some of the guys that were possibly out there they even considered, because they'd be like, we're going to kind of mess up this locker room if we decide to trade for this person. Now, I will also have to say that the Jazz seemingly like to keep guys because of that feeling in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
and they like what they have sometimes a little too much. And what I'm talking about is Dante Exum. Even though I would probably say when the Jazz could have traded him last year, or at least that was the rumor that they could have traded him last year, and they decided not to trade him last year, I guess I'm on Dante Exum Island. I still mm-hmm. wanted to see how he would turn out. And yes, maybe they probably would have got more value out of him if they did trade him a while ago. But on the other hand, I understood why they didn't. But sometimes, and this happens to all GMs, they mm-hmm. fall in love with the players they either draft, or they think that something's going to happen mm-hmm. or that things will change. And maybe that's part of what's going on with the Jazz. They really like their players
Could
and they
be.
Think, you know what? Just give them a little bit more time. I think it's going to turn out. And it might turn out and it might not turn out.
Yeah, I think that's part of the culture that's just trickled down over the years within the Utah Jazz, beginning with Larry Miller. We know Larry Miller had strong personal relationships with a lot of players, to the point that you see jerseys like Daryl Griffith, who I am a huge fan of. We've talked about it on this broadcast before. His jersey's retired. Jeff Hornacek's jersey's retired. Mark Eaton's jerseys. These are jerseys that wouldn't be retired in any other franchise. Granted, they had a huge impact, and I know I'm taking this conversation on a bit of a tangent, but what I'm saying is that there is a little bit of that love affair, so to speak, with players sometimes. You fall in love with the guy. You really like him as a person, as what he does for your organization, but he maybe just isn't the piece you need to get over the hump. You've got to make that move to get over the hump, and at times I think the Jazz have had a hard time doing that because maybe it's been hard to part ways, you know? And I think maybe that sentiment might be a trickle down thing throughout this organization. Maybe that's just kind of a greater Utah thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I've fallen in love with players. Like I just said, Daryl Griffith. I loved David Benoit when the Jazz, I thought he was going to be the guy. I bought his jersey and everything. And I was invested in him when he came back to the Jazz the second time even, you know what I mean? So, and maybe that's a fan thing too. I don't know. But yes, you have to be willing to make the right move for the organization. And so hopefully that's not the case, that they're in love with the guys that are in the locker room and they're riding it, you know, for better or worse. But we'll find out.
I guess if I look, and this will kind of wrap up our, and you can respond to this too, but this will kind of wrap up our trade scenario. Should the Jazz have done it? Should it not? I remember seeing someone out there saying, well, everyone else is trading, and you know what they're giving up really isn't that bad. Why aren't the Jazz trying to do this? Just look at some of the players, and we'll talk some of the big deals, maybe some of the salt, and I'll just kind of throw these out to you. The Warriors-Wolves with the swap with Russell and Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins. I mean, could the Jazz have gotten involved in that? Possibly. I just don't see... They were going to get D'Angelo Russell because the Timberwolves wanted him.
Right.
Andrew Wiggins, I'm not sure the Jazz could really afford him or if they would even really want him right now. Right. So, and then Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman were involved. Eh, nothing there. Marcus Morris, what would you have given up to get Marcus Morris?
Right.
As part of that three-team deal, the Knicks will get Mo Harkless. But there was something there where they had to create a three-team deal.
Yeah.
I don't think the Jazz could have got involved in that. Do you want Andre Drummond? No. I'm being simplistic here, okay? I'll admit I'm being simplistic. Could you have got in on the Miami Andre Iguodala, that deal, going with anyone there? Probably not. I don't think there was anyone in there that the Jazz could have offered or given up, and what were you going to get in return anyway?
Right.
I just don't think that there was really much out there, and I'm not sitting here trying to say that the Jazz should have just stayed with it, but I just believe in my heart that they just didn't like anything that was either out there or something else, unless they really wanted Jabari Parker. I know everyone wants Jabari. Come on, Jabari, man. Poor guy. He's going to he's going to go up in the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, you know, I just don't think... I personally, I know there were some big names like D'Angelo and like Wiggins. You know, if you want to say Andre Iguodala is still a big name in basketball, I mean, I think he's obviously in the twilight of his NBA career. But I just don't think there was really any big-time moves in this trade deadline. And even though some big-time teams were out there moving and shaking, like the Rockets and the Heat and things like that, it doesn't necessarily mean they're making big-time moves. I mean, look at some of the best teams out there that didn't do a darn thing, you know, like the Nuggets and the Lakers. And so,
well, the Nuggets made some moves.
Yeah.
They're on the periphery.
Right, you're right. They're down to seven guys, and they come to Salt Lake and lay a beat down on the Jazz. But their core, they didn't really mess with.
And, no. So. Their main guys, they kept their main guys. Everyone that makes a huge difference for this team, and we're talking about Jamal Murray, we're talking about Nikola Jokic, we're talking about Gary Harris, guys like that. They stayed with the Nuggets. Real quickly, last thing I will have to say, I'd say the biggest winners out of this were the Clippers, because they added someone who can actually shoot and defend multiple positions. And then I'd probably say that the other team that probably won in all of this... Wait, is there? Oh, yeah, Miami. What am I talking about? Yeah, Miami's probably the other team that potentially won and all. At least they made themselves more of an Eastern Conference contender.
I think so, yeah. I think Miami might be a bit of a surprise. If not this year, soon.
Yeah, and really, how about them Utah Jazz against the seven-man rotation of the Denver Nuggets?
No.
This five-game losing streak, and we knew we had to get to this.
Yeah.
This five-game losing streak, it's really depressing.
It is.
And you could sit there and you could say, well, the Jazz just aren't playing as well with Mike Conley. Well, you know, things are not working out between there, and you've also got Joe Ingles, who's struggling because Mike Conley has come back in. And you could go to, you know, what's going on with the defense? Why isn't the perimeter defense playing as well as they are? What's going on with Donovan Mitchell right now? He hasn't played well pretty much since he's played okay, but he's not been his regular self in some ways since he was named an All-Star. You could come up with all these things and kind of go over and say, I think it's this, I think it's this, I think it's this. In reality, it's probably a little bit of everything that you're talking about here. And in reality, also, the other thing is, it just doesn't seem like they're, I don't want to say trying hard, but it just doesn't seem like the effort is there like it has been. I guess I'm not ready to give up on this team, but they got to find a gear or something to get better, because we saw that they did nothing. The buyout market's only going to provide so much. This is your team. You've got to do something now.
I think you've got to pinpoint what made this team successful during their big win streak. And I know they played a whole bunch of sub-500 teams, but they also won some important games in that stretch, and most recently that Mavericks game, you know? What led to success in those games? Go back to that focus on that and try to recreate it again as you approach the end of the pre All-Star break and as you return after that. You know, it depressing. You're right. In the locker room last night on Wednesday night after they lost to the Nuggets, it was pretty somber in there. It was quiet. It's the this is only my first full season really covering the Jazz, but this is by far, win or lose, the quietest, most somber locker room I've been in with the Utah Jazz, and it's because they understand what's happening, and that they don't necessarily have an answer. Coach Quinn Snyder said that they're not. It's not like they're living an illusion. They know that it's not working. That they're losing. Donovan Mitchell, after the arena was cleared out last night, I was setting up to do my live shot for the 10 o'clock news, and Donovan Mitchell comes back out to the floor with his headphones on and his practice gear back on, and he's putting up jumpers again because even he knows he's struggling and he's got to do something, so he's going to go to work at it. So it's going to be interesting to find out, to see what approach Quinn Snyder takes to this to try to right the ship, and what approach the players take. Again, something's wrong, and it's hard to pinpoint just one thing because it seems like there's a lot of things that are just suddenly not working.
I would probably say it's too simplistic to just come out and blame it all on Mike Conley.
Yeah.
I think that there are some issues there.
Yeah.
I think that that's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But I think it's too simplistic to just say, Mike Conley's fault. Mm-hmm. We know it's Mike Conley's fault because the Jazz are trying to integrate him. They're going at him on defense. That's why this team is struggling right now. But it's going beyond that, too. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, a lot of players are struggling right now with getting things going. And one thing I will say is the Jazz are also having, on the defensive end of it, they're struggling when it comes to perimeter defense right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who's holding them up is Rudy Gobert, and he can only do so much.
Right.
And we see what happens when teams, and the Houston Rockets, you could even say, kind of started this, maybe even going back to that Dallas Mavericks win that the Jazz had over the Dallas Mavericks, when they spread the Jazz out and they pull everyone out and they're playing this five out. Not all teams can do that, but when they do that, other teams are successful against the Jazz. You've got to figure that out. And that goes beyond, Mike Conley's struggling.
Right.
That goes beyond, in defense. I'll go back to something that was told to me many, many times, and that is a lot of times defense is just effort.
Right.
That's what it is. Defense is effort. Yes, you can be good, you can be bad, but the main thing is just try. And I'm not saying that some of these guys are not trying. I think they are, but I think sometimes they might be relying a little bit too much on Rudy Gobert saying, oh, my guys beat me, I'll just funnel them to, wait a minute, they're already at the basket and they've already scored something. So I think it really comes down to just trying to figure out where I need to put my effort, and I really think that's on the defensive side of the ball.
And I wonder, and again, I'm not trying to find excuses here for the Jazz, but I wonder how much of the poor play recently has to do with fatigue. And I'm not just talking physical fatigue, but mental fatigue as well. You know, to be riding the highs that they were riding during that, 20 out of 21, whatever that stretch was, to be riding those highs emotionally and mentally, but also physically. You know, when you're playing well, you're excited, you're coming out with more energy, you're really going all out. And a part of me just wonders if they've kind of worn out a little bit. No, I'm not saying they're toast for the year.
Maybe the starters, too, because they played.
Right.
There was that stretch, and I think I know where you're going. There was that stretch where the starters played a lot
minutes. It was like 35 minutes each. It almost seemed like, per player, if not more. So again, you've got four games left before the All-Star break. It'd be nice to figure out what's going on there, but I really think this break is going to do the Jazz a lot of good. I say traditionally, maybe because I only remember the good things, but it seems like I remember a lot of hot streaks after the All-Star breaks, traditionally for the Jazz. And so, a good break, come back, go on a run. I mean, they did it late last year. They went on a run. Get that top three seed if you can, and then go from there.
I think during the All-Star break, instead of taking a break, they need to have more three-hour practices.
Yeah.
We should invite Trey Lyles to be a part of that. All right. We need to take a break. We're going to talk about the All-Star break, but we're going to take a break here. We'll talk about that next right here on the Jazz Notes podcast.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. By the way, we are podcasting in front of a live studio audience here today. That live studio audience is my daughter, who decided to join me here today. So we really appreciate...
Involuntarily, she's being indoctrinated with Utah Jazz banter.
Exactly. My family and I were on the way home, and I said, I've got to podcast something. And I ran in here, and she is joining us here for the Jazz Notes podcast. How you doing, Felice? Okay, that's great. All right, so moving on to the rest of the podcast here. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert find out who they're going to be playing for. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. Which team would you rather play for? We wanted Rudy to go to Team Giannis. Mm-hmm. We wanted Donovan to go to Team LeBron. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not what happened.
Right.
But they're going to be teammates. They both ended up on Team Giannis. Donovan was the last player picked. By the way, is that a slap in the face? The last player picked for his team. Is that a little bit of a slap in the face?
I don't know.
Does he even care?
There's a little bit of pride on it. The fact that he was the last player picked to his team, but not last overall, makes a huge difference, though, right?
Yeah.
Sabonis was last overall. I don't know how much he cares or not, but as the players were being picked, I kept thinking, okay, this is the perfect spot for Donovan to go. And then there went Kyle Lowry, or there went Chris Paul, you know, to Team LeBron. And obviously
But Chris Paul, you know why he's going to LeBron, because they're buddies.
That's what I'm saying. They're playing some favorites there with the picks. But I do like how Giannis said it. He's like, oh, I got to take my boy, or I got to take my man, Donovan Mitchell, however he said it, you know. We'll see, and I think it's going to be fun. Donovan at Shoot Around on Wednesday, prior to the Nuggets game, was asked if he cared which team he'd be on and if he'd be watching, and he said, you know, he really would like to play with Rudy to be able to do that together on the All-Star team. But then he did say, you know, part of him would be excited to be on the opposite team to maybe get even with them for the World Cup over the summer. But I think he's genuinely probably pretty excited that Giannis took him, that he's playing with Rudy, and maybe they can make some highlight plays together on the court, a la the old days of Stockton Malone.
Here's what I like about this team, too. I'll tell you what I like about mm-hmm. Team Giannis. Okay? Giannis, really long. Then you have Joel Embiid, really long.
Yeah.
Then you have Pascal Siakam. He can be really long, too.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton, long. Bam Adebayo, pretty long. You got Rudy Gobert. You have Donovan Mitchell for his size. But then it's funny, because then you go the opposite direction. They're like the tall and small team. It's
right.
Like you're either really tall or you're one of the shorter guys, because they also have Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and Donovan Mitchell on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kyle Lowry too. Excuse me. I think this will be fun. I think this is going to be an enjoyable. I think you've got really a defensive mindset with the team that Donovan and Rudy is on. Hopefully they'll, as we talked about, hopefully we'll actually see some defense in this game too. That would actually be nice.
That's what Giannis said when he took Rudy. Rudy was his third player picked for his bench players, and when he picked him, he said, I gotta get some defense. I need a shot blocker. I'm taking Rudy Gobert. So, I know All-Star games are usually just kind of the flair of just getting out there, kind of goofing around playing, but when it comes down to it, both sides, they want to win the game. And it'll change in the fourth quarter, and that's when a player like Rudy Gobert could make a big difference. So
I also like that Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert are on the same team.
Yeah.
Because they both like to do a little smack talk and talking. I think this will be fun. I think this will be fun for them to be together.
Yeah.
Even though Joel Embiid says, no, I'm probably the best defensive player. And then you got Giannis, and he thinks he's the best defensive player. And then you got Rudy, and he's the two-time defensive player. I think it's going to be fun to see them all actually playing together. That's what they need, an all-tall lineup.
That would be fun. get all the big guys out at the court on the same time.
Experiment a little bit. That will be a lot of fun.
Doesn't he have Ben Simmons, or did LeBron take Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons is actually playing for Team LeBron.
Okay, I was going to say, because then you got your 6'10 point guard, but
Now, and right. It's not like there are a bunch of slapsticks on defense right. on the other team. I mean, right. Anthony Davis, yeah. Kawhi Leonard's on that team. You've got Ben Simmons, who's good defensively. Okay, pretty much that's it. Yeah. Anyway, no, Chris Paul's good defensively too, but I think it's going to be fun. I think this is fun for both teams. I know you said it's going to be good for the Jazz because they're going to be able to get away and they yeah. can kind of work on a few things. On the other hand, I think it's going to be good for Donovan and Rudy too. It's their first All-Star yeah. experience. I hope that they can put their losing streak in back of them mm-hmm. and just go enjoy the weekend. Yes. And not worry about what's happening with the Jazz. Just go enjoy the weekend and realize, guess what? It's still fun to play basketball. Isn't yeah. that great that you get paid to, yeah. to play a sport?
Yeah. And with how loose it is at the All-Star game, you know, I don't see how they can't have fun at this experience. You know, everyone's goofing around. You get to network in the NBA, so to speak. You rub shoulders with players that you don't normally rub shoulders with, and they do so in a friendly environment, in a fun environment, because I think there is a lot of mutual respect, knowing that, hey, I'm an all-star, but I'm not better than you because you're an all-star too. We're all all-stars. We're all the best in this league. We're all here together. So I think there's a lot of mutual respect, and then in turn, it shows on the floor that they just have a lot of fun together. And when it comes down to it, then you see the that mutual desire to win as well, and the competition will heat up.
But. Coming up next, Sam's going to actually sing All Star by Smash Mouth.
That's right. Hey now. Oh.
Keep going.
I thought you really wanted me to.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm not going
to. Okay, good. Because we're going to end the podcast. We appreciate you listening to the Jazz Notes podcast right here. Thanks to KSL Sports. They are the ones that that help bring this all together so we can bring you the Jazz Notes podcast. Next week, you'll hear from Ben Anderson. By the way, Ben's going to go out to Chicago. He's yeah. going to go participate in All-Star Activity. So make sure you keep up with him at KSLSports.com. And hopefully next week, I'd like to get Ben on to actually talk a little bit about yes. some of his experiences he
That'd
has out
awesome.
There. And if not, I'm sure Sam and I can do something from back here in Little Salt Lake. Wait, are you going to Chicago?
No, Jeremiah Jensen will be going to Chicago, though, with Matt Glade, our executive sports producer. They'll be there as well with Ben, so we'll have a lot of coverage. KSLSports.com, KSL Television. And I'm sure they'll also be contributing to KSL News Radio as well. So we'll have you covered. All aspects of KSL.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready, because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.